It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I'm your host, Justin Wersch. This is episode 419. With me, as always, is the one, the resting mountain, the downward dog, the chakra aligning, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Docs. Create and share your work online. Upload your files with your desktop, Justin. It's easy to get started and it's free.
That's true. Go to docs.com for all your needs. They're the new sponsor. Screw Amazon. I know we're making tons and tons of money off of that. But
you didn't tell me off air. I still don't know.
Here's what I'm going to do, Kevin. I'm going to write this down on a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
Slide it across to you. And you tell me whether or not you're going to accept the terms of this deal.
And then I'm going to say no. And then you're going to meet in secret later. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to try to screw your brother out of 2.5.
Cried like a baby.
It was stupid.
I know, but I cried like a baby.
I was telling Kat, I'm like, that is the most... First of all, the whole idea... We're talking about Parenthood, which is a real gamer-friendly show.
The most difficult job in the world, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Moms across America.
Which, by the way, is my new band.
They run a sound studio together with one employee... One employee that handles like the phone calls, and then he does everything else, and then the other guy's the businessman.
Yeah,
like, what does the businessman do?
I'll tell you what he does. He has scotch with a guy from a different world.
Yeah, exactly.
And by a different world, I also mean Rafe.
Yeah.
He says, "Guess what? This little thing that we've seen make no money."
Is now worth
millions of dollars.
Because if that company, whoever they are, wanted to buy studios, they would have known that place had intrigue in it and would have bought it when they bought the bottom out price that it was worth at the beginning of the season.
But what happens is when you get a businessman and a cool hip recording engineer,
every episode,
and the only person that I see record there is CeeLo Green and a hot cellist with no name.
Doesn't pay. Yeah, she doesn't have a name.
Well, she pays with her, Xbox.
They don't. He does every. I was every time that show was on. I tell Kat, look, that is so. That is so much fantasy in this. There would be like the idea that CeeLo Green would be there and he's the only guy running the booth and checking the gear. And they're like, I don't like this mic. So he gets up from the booth, goes and gets a new mic. Right. Like there wouldn't be at least, and this is being generous, three other people working in that booth. That they wouldn't have an engineer.
I don't think it actually does work that way.
I've been in sound studios. There are you have at least three guys working with you in a booth. Like that, with all those instruments, you need to have techs, you need to have grunts, you need a guy running the board, you want to have a producer that's like, so how are we feeling? How's everything going on?
I see,
and he's one guy.
One guy.
So then they sell the thing they want to buy the thing for $2.5 million. I'm yelling at the screen and telling my wife,
bottle caps!
Bottle cap! They could sell it and keep him on as a producer. There's no reason why he couldn't have them tuck $1 million away and sign on as an employee at his own studio. Like, it's all fantasy. I don't know why I care, because I know it's a TV show on NBC.
Right.
And nobody's watching it. No.
You know what's even more sad? I cried like a baby.
Why?
At that best man speech, even though he wasn't the best man. I look at that show and I go, none of this would really happen. This is what happens when people don't talk to each other.
He was doing that at his wedding. Nothing about, hey, so glad to see you two are together. I love you together. Nothing about the bride. All about his relationship to his brother.
Yeah.
And then some gesture that meant nothing to 90% of the guests.
Yeah. Because any bride is going to be saying, you know what? I'm going to get married in less than a week, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm going to also get married at my in-law's house with everything built by their family. You know what my mom is going to do? She's going to be there just to be the Like that's
And then his nephew is upstairs getting laid for the first time.
Well, that definitely happens.
With just the most attractive woman on that show.
What, you don't think he can pull that kind of tale?
Not then.
You know how he does it.
Here's how they went. They went, hey, we're going to cut the cake. Okay, we're going to be upstairs having sex for the first time.
Oh, my god!
And then they came downstairs.
Oh, my god.
There's a whole wedding happening outside his window.
Yes.
And he's upstairs.
But there's a joining of its own little special way.
going on upstairs.
And I'm watching this scene. I'm like, are we supposed to feel good? Like, what emotion am I supposed to be pulling out? Like, this is magical?
Oh,
or that this is bad?
When I saw, here's the thing. Now, you tell me if I'm speaking out of school here. Because it was different for you and I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mine was
my wedding night.
Right.
I was over 30.
Oh, and mine was in a pup tent next to a reservoir. Because I'm freaking romantic. Yes. Yes.
You don't have to work as hard when you're 19, 17.
Mm. Yes. Hold on, baby. I'm going to get these poles. Watch out for that elastic. It could snap you. Yeah, I've never got enough pulls, but don't worry, I got one extra one right here in my pants.
You're so clever and original. That's your date. Your date just sounds like me in a falsetto voice. That's so fascinating.
That's actually what attracted me to you. The first time you spoke to me, I was like, whoa, what was that?
Why do you have like two lady porn songs, yes, hot teed?
Because you can never have too many.
You can never.
One isn't enough. You need to have two porn
you
songs.
You can never have too many. And you know what? If I want to go long form, which I'm about to go in this store, I hope you didn't have an actual thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because
it's this
is
now.
How. Why is this not happening right here? Oh, that's a good one, too. But, the excitement that young man was feeling. Those of you who have been listening to the chat room, I played this in my little radio show that I do in between the shows on Ustream. But imagine, if you would, that lady with her, you know, soft skin. Oh, my gosh. There's a level of anxiety, of good anxiety, happy anxiety that comes over your hormonally enraged teenage body at a moment of inappropriateness. Now, I also want to say that I firmly agree that no teenager should be making the boom booms in their naughty spots.
Since when?
I've always said that. From day one, I believe that you were too young to do it.
You did it?
That's right, I did. That's right, I did.
Hypocritical.
And it did not go well.
That's true. Thank you for saying so. Thank you for admitting that.
It felt like the excitement. Oh, leading up to it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen.
You know what's more exciting? Waiting. No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because, like, when she looked at him, this is where I felt like he played it inappropriately. For those of you who haven't seen the season finale of Parenthood, just, you know the
idea.
You
don't need to.
Because, yeah, we just broke it down for you. Is that when she said, I think I'm ready?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he looked at her. He did give a little eyebrow raise. But I just feel like, for as nervous as he was to tell her that he liked her, you don't all of a sudden become Obama cool.
Oh, I think you do.
No.
I think you do, because he was on the inside. He didn't have to fight anymore.
No. I'm telling you, it doesn't change. You never feel comfortable. You never.
Wait, can we dial back to where you said Obama cool? Is
What's
that
up?
A thing? Is
yeah.
That...
Well, he's smooth. That's about all he's got going for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah. Can't get enough.
He is my president.
I know he is. He's all of our presidents.
I will vote all up on him. Hey, did you love on episode 7 of the new Doctor Who that aired back in 2005? When he said, they fast forwarded to the year 2012, and they said, who do you want to be the next president, Democrat or Republican? I was like, wow, that's cool, because it was even before the 2008 election, obviously, so they didn't even know who was going to be on office at all at that point in time. It was such an interesting choice to jump forward that small amount of time. It'd be like doing an episode now from 2019. I guess that's pretty far. I don't know. It just feels like yesterday.
I think you just hurt my brain, because I was reminiscing back to myself in a pump tent next to some muddy waters. And
what year was that?
Airfield. Oh, boy. 1995.
Wow.
1995.
I lost my virginity a clean decade after you.
Yes. Yes, you did. And you're all the better for it.
I am all the better.
You're all the better for it.
I do not have the baggage.
But oh, my gosh. When they did the scene where they take off their clothes, the level of just pure adrenaline rush.
That was softcore porn.
Well,
she was wearing a necklace.
Yeah.
And
wait, hold on.
And
did you see a part that I didn't see? You see some deleted scenes? Where did he...
No, I'm just
saying. Did he drop the bomb on this?
They do the ankle shots, and they just undress themselves. And, like, I was shocked when his boxers hit the ground, and then her little cutesy little underwear.
Purple.
Bam, hit the ground. I was like, oh my gosh, what is on this screen right now? We need to move on.
Okay. I apologize.
We're gonna kick half of our listeners.
What are we going to be talking about?
I have an article to read to you from PC World. PC World, you know, the other console that I love it, PC gaming. Steambox is Valve working on a console?
What?
Could gaming software titan Valve be getting into the hardware business? The makers of the iconic games like Half-Life and Portal and the creators of gaming distribution program Steam are reportedly working on a hardware platform that they could be announcing as early as this week at the GDC. That's a game developer conference. This this came out on March 5th, 2012. We were recording this on March 6th, so we know this doesn't air for a little bit of time. So this information may be sorely outdated. So that'll be kind of funny if they do announce and say that this is coming out. You know, we'll just be a week behind.
Remember, broke it first.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The rumor reportedly by The Verge last Friday puts the Valve in an interesting position to shape the next generation of console gaming. Isn't it always the next generation of console gaming? I think one of the best things they chose to do at Sony was not call the PS Vita the NGP, the next generation portable, because it would have been like, well, what's the, it's like Star Trek the next generation. Like now there's Star Trek the second generation. And we're on, then there was the zeroth. The hardware's presumed heavy integration with Steam would create a console store that...
Previous generation.
Yeah, exactly. What was Enterprise? I hate it. The the hardware's presumed heavy integration with Steam...
Generation would create- point one? Point nine, probably.
No, it'd be point like five.
Yeah.
Because they're... Did you watch Enterprise at all?
Yes.
Now you've fully delivered. I've given up. Steam shmeem. How much of Enterprise did you watch? I remember I got you to watch.
I watched a lot of it. I want to say I watched almost all of it. But this is pre TiVo, so it's like it was hard for me to catch it all. But
it's all on Netflix now. I've gone back.
Sorry, what?
It's on Netflix. I've rewatched the entire series.
So we could watch What's Her Face get scrubbed down after the gas thing again.
That's in the pilot episode.
Yeah. It reminds me of being in a pub.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I've been watching three Star Trek shows concurrently. Like I thought, I was like, you know, I don't really watch Star Trek, and then I looked around, and I'm like, I am watching three of them at the same time. Because at work, I put on Enterprise on Netflix just to have on in the background, and then when I exercise, I watch the original series on Blu-ray, which is not a good show to exercise to. And then before going to bed, sometimes I'll pop on Deep Space Nine because I have all those on DVD. So I have them in three different medium, three different shows, and I still am like, you know, I just need to watch that show more often.
You know what just happened to all the lady gamers? Yeah. They dropped their controllers and turned in right now. They're like, oh, what's going on? Did he say something about it concurrently? And
but it's so
Deep
funny
Space Nine.
To watch, because those are different decades. And the original Star Trek's from the 60s, Deep Space Nine's from the 90s, and Enterprise's from the 2000s.
Take me way back.
And it's funny to watch how they each like try. Like the 60s is just trying to be television show. So like some they don't have the balance of storytelling. Some episodes, it's all social justice, and you're watching, you're like, I don't really, war is bad. Is that the premise of tonight's episode? War and not listening to each other. Was that really something that people in the 60s, I guess, I don't know. I wasn't around.
And they then did not know. It was a warring time in the 60s.
I get it, but it's like, so then you jump forward to the 90s, and they do some fun episodes, and obviously television is very evolved. The budget was very big. But then they'll just do a random episode where there's like no science fiction at all, and it's a love story between Odo and Kira. And there's literally no science fiction. It's just the fact that he's a shapeshifter and she's an alien, and that's as science fiction-y as it gets.
That's all you need is love.
And that's it. And then you jump forward to Enterprise, where they're like a rat in a tube scraping at the sides of the glass to get out, to get to freedom. Because, you know, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager all lasted 7 full years of syndication. But Enterprise is like, please watch our show.
Syndicate us, please.
Why aren't people watching it?
We got the guy from Quantum Leap.
Exactly. He's terrible. He's a really bad actor.
What?
Yeah, he's not good.
Oh, come on. That voice.
He may have a great voice. He's not a good stage camera.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, he's not good. He's not that great-looking either.
Oh, I disagree.
He feels like a country bumpkin that stumbled onto the show. I think what they did with him in the first season of the show was pretty good, but where they took him by the end, I did not believe it. He doesn't.
But that's not in his acting.
No, it is. He does not have the range to pull off. What they tried to do is in season 3,
right, but
was an homage to 9/11.
Again, though, that's not his acting. acting.
No, that is.
That's poorly using the ingredients. That's like saying, I'm going to make this cup of coffee with some flour.
No, I disagree. Like, what they were trying to do was take this guy that was like, you know, the universe is at our fingertips. That was the season one and two of Archer. Season three, they essentially go and kill Osama bin Laden. That's not what the episode is, but that's what the entire season is about, fighting terrorists on terrorists' territory. And then they come back, and he's supposed to be like a changed man. He has faced darkness and become out the other side. He's broken down the wall of morality, and he will do whatever it takes to get the mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. But he can't pull that off. He can't be that guy. He did not play dark, and he did not play a guy that has been forced to reevaluate his morals and his convictions the way that the writing and the way that the stories wanted to do. And I honestly think that's why that show got canceled. It's because season three was so complex.
All because of Scott Bakula.
And I don't think was not strong enough to carry the show.
Wow.
He really wasn't.
Wow.
And he had some boring supporting cast members. What's that?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, there was a couple guys on there that it's like, this is
really?
It? Yeah. Mayweather, the black guy, he goes four seasons without...
I don't remember a single one other than Lady with the Chi-Chis.
Yeah, exactly. No one does. She is interesting. Trip is interesting.
Who is Trip?
He's the engineer, the southern guy. So they're kind of like the Jim and Pam of the show. You want them to get together, and they don't want to get together.
I remember Tripp's voice, like, oh, listen here, little. He's that got the shower with the chick.
Yeah.
I don't know why that. I don't remember that chick's name.
What was I talking about? It's how easy it is to distract me with Star Trek. Now, have we talked about the fact that...
The bottle caps!
What's-His-Bucket wants to do Star Trek? There are two people vying for the Star Trek television franchise right now.
J.J. Abrams is not one.
Not one. But the dude that does Family Guy. What's his name?
Seth MacFarlane.
He has put his hat in the ring. Please, and asked for rights. And he talks... I should dig up the article. He talks about it. Of course, it should not surprise you. I mean, this is a guy that is one step above South Park in terms of like diarrhea and social justice being in the same episode. He's just slightly less edgy and less dirty than those guys. And yet he can talk about what made Star Trek great, specifically Star Trek The Next Generation, and what he thinks he can do to bring that into the next.
In a way that you as a fan listen to it and go, okay, yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like,
thank you, Master. May I have another?
It's about, and the thing is, if you watch Star Trek The Next Generation compared to Star Trek Enterprise, or even compared to the original series, Star Trek The Next Generation was like seven superheroes. They all had their own well-balanced powers. Powers! Like, you got the captain, you got the
cowboy. That was a very well-put-together series.
You got the warrior and Worf, you got the calculating android, you got the dude with super vision. He's got super eyes, you have a telepath, and then you have this genius doctor. I mean, you have like... You have everything.
Well, she was a genius.
She was. The things she was doing, she was one of the top. You continue on the show. In the continuity, she goes on to be a captain.
And Whoopi Goldberg was your bartender.
Yeah, your bartender. It's not even at the Oscars. So, but then you compare that against like Voyager or Enterprise.
You got an engine, a Vulcan, done that.
Done.
And a chick.
And they work so hard. They
Catherine
did the same
Hepburn.
Thing. They're like...
as the captain of the Enterprise,
resurrect the Borg. Voyager. Let's take the Borg. See, they missed the boat because how have we not had a whole geek out session about Star Trek on this show yet?
I never mentioned the words, evidently.
How did this
just happen right now?
This is nothing to do with video games.
I know.
But on Voyager, well, I can bring it around at the end. On Voyager, you know, the Voyager and Deep Space Nine faced the same problem that after about three seasons in, they kind of had to reinvent themselves to what the show was about. And it about the end of actually all of them
now why though
because they started to figure out what fans were really into. I think that on Next Generation,
do you think it's one of those situations where like what happens is the executives keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and that either one of two things happens: either they show that they're getting the ratings and the executives back off, or they're losing the ratings and the executives back off because they're going to move on to the next thing, which gives a little bit more freedom to the creators.
I have a feeling it's a little bit more, it's less economic, more about the fact that the writers and the crew kind of discover what what is working and what doesn't.
What's gelling.
And fans are what fans are responding to and what fans aren't responding to. Take a show that isn't science fiction, like Community. If you watch the first season, they set up the whole relationship between Joel and that girl that plays Britta on it, and they're supposed to be the love life. But Annie, the little 18-year-old, tests better than Britta, and so they change roles. The story now becomes about 18-year-old Annie hooking up with Joel because she has more of this test power. And I think the same thing happens on all these shows. After a while, it comes clear, like, well, that's working. That's what fans are into. And this
and also Community, so many things in the fire. But yep. Abed becomes a huge, because I think he was the most interesting character. And then they ramped it up a notch.
They turned up
his robotism, if you would, and his friendship with Troy.
It's coming back on March 15th. We'll already be out by the time this comes. So you look at
see the promos, by the way?
No.
Because the Dean won an Oscar. He was one of the writers on The Descendants, as we talked about in a previous episode a while ago.
I remember.
And they go, Oscar winner, and they said his name is coming back with Community on March 16th or
That's
whatever.
What it took. He had to win an Oscar.
And then they said, and then they show, hey, everybody, and he's in this like crazy costume. Yeah. This guy won an Oscar. And I think it even says, and we got him.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Use what you got. So I think all four of the spinoffs did this. And I think that even the original series, if you kind of watch it, was probably heading in that direction, but got killed before they had a chance to kind of find their feet underneath them. But the Next Generation started off as like continuing the mission. That was definitely what the original concept was. Gene Roddenberry, you read any of the books, you know, they...
It's so dumb that I think that when you say that, that makes me feel like... and I think that they tried to do it by making them show up in a different quadrant, but they kept... It was...
What show?
Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
Where they wormholed it to a different quadrant, but then they still were fighting a common enemy, and what they should have done is found more people.
Well, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a million reasons why that show blows. But Gene Roddenberry fought against having Worf on the show or any Klingon Marine. It was the other producers, the other executives that really pushed the idea because they're like, the Klingons are very popular. Like, you should put one of your most popular people as a regular character on the show. And of course, became probably one of the most iconic characters within Star Trek. But by the end of the first season, you can see that he was trying to like take the story and move it and, you know, continuing the mission, but make it different. Like, okay, instead of Klingons, it's now Ferengi. They're the bad guys and the technology is different. But by the end of that, you have the Romulans are back and the men stopped wearing skirts. Have you ever seen in the pilot episode, the men are wearing skirts?
No.
Yes. Only in the pilot episode, the men, watch it again, are wearing skirt uniforms to make it say that the equality had been so awesome.
So developed that men were completely emasculated.
You have these Baywatch-looking dudes, just beautiful model men, walking around in skirts on the Enterprise, disappeared after the pilot episode. You're going to dig it up. So you see, like, after season, two, after season one, Tasha Yar dies, Crusher comes back around, and then the show really kind of locks in, because the cast was large, with the boy genius Wesley Crusher and a few other characters, and then it squishes down to the Magnificent Seven, the seven superhero people, and that's where it kind of locks in from season three on. That becomes who your crew is, and the show really kind of strikes a good balance between political messages and also, you know, just adventure stories, and does a good job of exploring the characters, which is what Seth MacFarlane said he wants to do, is do a story about these seven characters and do seven or eight or ten season arcs with those characters, which is what we as fans like to watch in television. So then Deep Space Nine comes along. And, you know, it's the only show to run concurrently during other Star Trek shows. All the rest of them had their own time. So it was launched halfway through Next Generation and ran halfway through Voyager's because Voyager butts up against Next Generation. And Deep Space Nine, if you watch the pilot episode of that, they're saying, like, the opposite of Star Trek. Adventure is here. This is where everything's happening on Deep Space Nine. Why go anywhere? And, you know, Odo is this mysterious character and everybody's gritty and things are, like, It's supposed to be like the 90s Star Trek. That's, you could really get that sense for them of saying, we're dealing with real issues. This is, you know, drugs are real and war is real, and this is what we're dealing with. We're not in a utopian universe like on Star Trek The Next Generation. By season two, and definitely by the beginning of season three, the Dominion show up, Odo knows who his people are, and the show kind of readjusts itself, shifts away from the Cardassians, and into the Dominion.
Well, they're hard to keep up with, I've heard.
Which one, the Cardassians?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm geeking out too hard, aren't I?
No. I disagree.
Okay,
no.
Good. So by the end, by the time of season three, it's all about the Dominion, and they strike this, like, three balanced bad guys. So instead of these Cardassians that just were annoying, they just want Deep Space Nine back, you have these changelings and these warrior dudes and these manipulative telepathic guys. They're all these, this threefold hydra of a bad guy. And then you bring Worf onto the show because Next Generation been canceled. And that's where the show like really kicks into gear and it hits its stride the whole way through. It's about the war between the Dominion and they actually, you finally see a war on Star Trek.
What did the Dominion look like? I'm trying to pull the...
Well, they were the three bad guys. So you have the changelings who are the commanders and because they could change on a molecular level, they are master geneticists. So they build these two different sub-races up. One of the Jemadar, which are these warrior people. They're the lowest on their caste system, controlled by drugs.
But what did they look like? I want to...
Lizard people.
Yes, I remember. Okay.
And they
kind of like one of your... The side effect... Or the side effect. Mass effect.
Yeah.
Thorium,
very simple.
Yeah.
And they're controlled by Tetracell White, which is a drug that if they don't have it, they die, but only they can get it only from
the
masters.
Changeling,
And so then the Vorta are like the go-between those two army, and the Vorta are the kind of elfish looking creatures with these big weird ears, and they have telepathic powers, and they're the sort of the voice of the Dominion. But both of them are genetically bred, and the Vorta have no taste. They're not allowed. They strip that away so that they also serve the changelings in their own way. But they are more aware of it. They don't like the changelings, whereas the Dominion or the Jem'Hadar worship the changelings. They see them as gods. So they're really, and then you bring the Klingons in. The Klingons have their own relationship, the Dominion, and then they want to fight Deep Space Nine. And the show really kind of takes out. They lose some cast members and some things happen. But then I feel like Voyager came along and went, okay, so that's what they did. So we need to do that same thing. We're going to, you know, Deep Space Nine is so boring. There was this weird, like, competitiveness between Deep Space Nine and Voyager because Deep Space Nine was, like, the more, I think, serious television show, and Voyager was trying to be like the adventurous cowboy show,
yes.
And it had no sentiment, no thoughtfulness behind it. It was just like, isn't space fun?
To the point where they had an engine.
Yeah, literally. And they missed some golden opportunities, and there was a woman that was a producer on it, and the name will come to me, and she was terrible, and she was in charge of the original idea creation of who the characters would be, and she invented some dull characters. Mm-hmm. One of the characters was B'Elanna Torres, which is a half Klingon, half human, and she'd snuck aboard, and so she with these bad guys called the Maquis.
A long time ago, wasn't she like a little girl or something? Like she grew up, or am I crazy?
No, that's something you're thinking of. Seven of Nine,
okay.
Which came later. So there are these Maquis that they invented at the last season of Next Generation, who have like annexed themselves from
the engine.
Yeah,
he's a Maquis
from the Federation because they don't like what happened with the Cardassia and some other stuff. And then so she's one of those and. So bored. And then there's a Vulcan as a side officer, and so you're seeing two races of people that we've already seen in Nauseam. Like we know all about Vulcans, and we know all about Klingons. These giant missed opportunities to have a Cardassian on this show. Like there could have been a great excuse to see more about them on your hero.
Which is why it worked to have a Klingon the first time.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would have easily worked for a Cardassian to be.
And
on it.
And that's what they did. They looked at. They saw Data was really cool, so let's do him again in a holographic doctor. So you got an artificial life form, but he's a holographic doctor.
That they eventually made real.
He kind of. He had technology from the 29th century that allowed him to walk around outside the holodeck.
Oh, I thought the doctor that he was modeled after just ended up being assigned to the ship.
No, because the ship was cast. That was that was one of the problems why The Next Generation was canceled, because the writers felt like they were getting themselves backed into a corner. There was nothing new for them to do. So they, in the last season, they would vent all these weird story arcs just to generate story ideas, like Data needing to dream. So that produced like 3 or 4 episodes for them. Worf and Troy got married through, or got started to hook up through that last season. So that got to develop, but they needed something. They needed like an arc. So in Voyager, every episode is about getting home. That's why it's called Voyager. They're in the Delta Quadrant, way out past Borg space, and every episode is them trying to get home, trying to negotiate. It's a good idea and concept, mm-hmm. but dull. And they meet the Kazon and the Verdian. The Kazon are these Rastafarian Klingons.
But it's dull, I think, still, and maybe you would agree that because of the boring people on the ship.
Boring people on the ship. And I think because...
it's a great concept.
It's a great idea, and that's what I think they sold. They sold a vehicle with the popular elements of Star Trek without putting any heart behind it. They didn't ask, why are Klingons popular? Why was Data interesting? They just said, they were cool, put them on this show.
Here are the ingredients that have worked for this
exactly.
cake.
Exactly. Recycle them. Instead of coming up with new
aliens. Let's make this new cake and throw it out into the left field.
They looked at, they were like, okay, Quark on Deep Space Nine is kind of fun. Let's make another character that's
like
more
Neelix.
Upbeat. Like Neelix. Exactly. How can we make it different? A woman captain. Originally cast as Patty Duke was the original.
Who's Patty? Why do I know?
Patty Duke from the Patty Duke Show way back in the day.
Was originally cast as Catherine Janeway.
Shot for 3 or 4 days. Walked off the set in the middle of production. Walked off the set and never came back. She was so frustrated with shooting television and the life that... And then Kate Mulgrew was like, yes, me please. Yes, I will definitely. She had auditioned for it. Didn't get it. And then it went back to her. Same, Avery Brooks originally turned down Captain Sisko. It was going to another guy. And then he had talked with his family and came back and said, never mind, I'll do it. Wise decision, because it put him away for life. Like
he doesn't have to work.
Work again for the rest of his life. He worked those 7 years. And it was hard because his family lived in New York and they shoot in L.A. I think it was difficult on their marriage, but he never has to work again in his life. Why they didn't move out there, I don't know. We should have Avery Brooks on the show. I would love. Can you make that happen? How are we doing on time?
We're done.
No, we had so much other things to talk about. There were so many other things. Why start? So then they had to bring Voyager they had to meet the Borg, and they just recycled another idea. Bring another cast member on, take what was popular in The Next Generation, put the Borg on, make her sexy. And the same thing with Enterprise. They make a sexy Vulcan.
Yes.
Which
was trying to be 7 of 9.
Yes, absolutely. So, Valve, do you think they're making their own box? I feel like we should go back and delete the part where I start reading about Steam and just jump into Star Trek.
It's fine. You worry too much.
It's a
hobby.
It is a hobby.
Not a job.
Somebody asked... we're almost over time. Somebody asked me in the chat room like a half hour ago if I knew of anybody that ever broke their NDA and got into trouble. No, I don't. And I don't want to find anybody that broke their NDA because people ask me questions all the time about Star Trek, about Sly. And can I tell you something about Sly? Can I just give you some secrets? Here's my question back at you. Why do you want to know? Why do you need to
know?
Like
if you know, is it going to satiate something?
Exactly. You know what's going to satiate your desire? Playing the game. And asking me a question that I can't answer isn't going to scratch that itch any better than playing the game. And for that, you're just going to have to wait until it comes out.
Solid point, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. I want to play it just as badly as you did. I saw the game on GameStop, and it looks amazing. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing.
I'm sure it's going to be great.
Will you play it?
Yes. Why would I not play this game?
Have you played the other ones?
Yes.
Mm.
I haven't played the third one.
Okay.
I played a quarter of the way through the second one, and I finished the first one.
Oh, fair enough.
And I think you stole your collector's edition from me.
Do you want it back?
No.
It's right here.
No,
we had it on last week.
I have a whole other life as an orc named Mike. Well, here's the thing. I forgot to mention this before, but the reason I named him Mike is because I was hoping that I didn't want to name him Justin, but I was hoping that the characters would refer to me as Mike, but they don't.
Yeah, they call you, they say Orc. Hey, Orc.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Orc. Let's see how you're doing on the Skyrim clock real quick here before we throw
it
up.
I'm getting very close. 679 hours.
Yeah, you can do it.
I'm very close, though. I wish I... Does it give you a stat of actual hours played?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, on the stats screen.
Because I'm not a good parent when I play.
Every time you press pause, it says every time you save.
The game stats. I'm not a good parent when I play games.
Just save. Save the game, and it'll say played for how many hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911 for all your Star Trek questions. If you have anything at all you want to throw down about, you're like, you know,
Star
what?
Trek. I
Voyager
feel like,
is a great show. Screw Steam.
I feel like I could talk about Star Trek for two more hours and still have so much more to say. Like, it is stupid how much I know about Star Trek.
It's not stupid. It's what
I think
know.
It is. Ask me about the Book of Nehemiah.
Ask you about the Book of Nehemiah?
I don't know a damn thing about it. Ask me about 2 Samuel.
I don't even... What's Nehemiah? Oh,
it's
I
a
see.
Book in the Bible.
Yeah.
Ask me about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, what are they?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Who's Tom Clancy?
I don't know. Is he
or
in
no,
the Bible?
Tom DeLancey, I'm sorry.
He's not in the Bible.
He's... No. But he is Q.
Oh, I knew that one. Yeah.
All right, so that's our show. Don't forget to click on the Help Justin Win Last Comic Sitting from Clorox at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Keep clicking through Amazon. Keep telling your friends about the show. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, it's Justin Ward from saying, okay, bye. Poorly timed. Kevin took a drink. Stop recording.